A Boundless Reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good morning. Opened up the blinds today, and looks like we had a little bit of a shower last night. The roads were slightly wet, so yeah, we got some rain. I guess we needed it, and of course, again, just the weather was changing. So this morning, I actually cut my gas logs on, so got the remote control and actually had to, you know, press the button. And there they are, still on right now. I know what it is about a fireplace. Seems like there's just kind of some soothing meditation that happens when you're sitting before a fire and watching the flames roll and bustle. Maybe that's a little too much detail, but I don't know. It's always kind of interesting to watch the fireplace and how that operates. Of course, as we've said before, the fireplace is good when the fire is contained within. It's not so good when it's outside of that element. Speaking of, you know, I never had experienced a house fire until it's probably been about 11 years ago. And we were very fortunate, but it happened on a Sunday morning, and it was in the laundry room, and apparently there was some wiring issue with a wall heater or something, and yeah, we were getting ready for church, matter of fact, and all of a sudden one of the smoke detectors goes off, and you know, the laundry room door shut, and it's kind of like, where's that coming from? Why is the smoke detector going off? Because I didn't really see any smoke. So I go over there to the door and open the door, and lo and behold, there's flames rolling up the wall. So that was a very, you know, excited moment, if you will. And so we, you know, basically I scrambled. And what was so ironic, or not even ironic, but what was so crazy about the situation was that we had a fire extinguisher that was nearby and went to pull the pin and nothing came out. The tank was bad. So I guess, you know, check your tanks. If you've got, if you have fire extinguishers, you might want to make sure that little arrow is in the green space, you know, and it's good to go. So maybe check that out just for, you know, as a person that basically went through something and then had the actual component to put the fire out, but didn't happen because the component was bad. So anyway, my apologies, a little sniffles this morning. So, you know, I think that was also just kind of heightened our sensibility towards what was going on. But eventually, yeah, we were able to get that put out, and it didn't cause too much of a catastrophe for us. So yeah, we were blessed in that sense. So I would say that learning experience. Now we have fire extinguishers that we check and make sure they're in the green. But I was going to say too, you know, I got to go to church, and we had our Wednesday night service, and last night was a chili cook-off. So there was a competition on who made the best chili. So, you know, everybody got to enjoy that evening. And then, of course, got to listen to a brother, Micah. My apologies again. He's from Germany, and he's going to school over here basically for ministry, and will continue on. And he spoke last night, and I thought he did a very good job. Just his interactions, his demeanor. It's good to see a young person developing. Glad to be sharing in this journey with him. Although I don't see him quite as often, but I have been able to spend some time with him, and so it was good. But you know, speaking of church, so recently we just had to have our heating and air conditioning replaced in the gym, our church gym. And I'll say it like this, I guess. For some people, we would say, There's ways in which we view things that may be important as far as like just the environment or the condition of the space that's something's in. You know, you kind of pay attention to your surroundings. Like, for instance, my children don't really do that very well when it comes to picking up things. They kind of just lay things down where they land. And, you know, that's just how it is. Like, one of my pet peeves with my kids is for some reason, like, all the pillows and all the things that are on your body, everything goes on the floor. I know I'm kind of quanky or whatever with that, but I'm just kind of like, you know, hey, just put it in the right place. Let's, you know, whatever. In some ways, I think a lot of it is after 25 years being married to a woman that is diligent about everything has its place. Maybe it's starting to rub off on me. And she's always been very faithful to that. So thank you, Miss Reagan. But anyway, getting back to what I was implying is that, you know, when these units were put in, they have these condensation drains that go to a pump. And, you know, right now our season is kind of busy at church with basketball and some other stuff. And so there's a lot of hustle and bustle and probably a lack of awareness of those environments or those surroundings. And so a lot of things get moved around very quickly, you know, for the thought of wanting to do something else that's important at the time. And I guess it's just a reminder that some people don't always view it the way you see it, the importance of paying attention to what you're doing so that, that way something doesn't get damaged. But, you know, but maybe, hey, maybe, you know, there's no accusations, but it's just interesting that sometimes things like that happen. So there we are. But it's all working, and we'll have to make some arrangements to make sure that that issue doesn't occur again. So that may involve some construction. We were looking at that last night to help alleviate or protect those areas of concern. Anyway, yeah, totally off the wall, but just wanted to share that too. And, you know, got to get out and organize, I guess, in preparation for the spring weather. We got our lawnmower building. It had been a long time coming. That building was in a lot of disarray. And so, yeah, we were able to get that organized and cleaned up. And I even tried to break out this, now, mind it, I'm not really like engine components, mechanical with gas engines and stuff. I'm not an expert, and I always talk about my granddaddy. He was very skilled in that mindset. And so I said, well, I'm going to take this tiller out and see if I can mess with it because it's been sitting for a while. And, you know, I changed the oil and changed the spark plug and all those things and put fresh gas and still couldn't get it to crank. So, yeah. I was kind of excited because I thought, well, if I get this spark plug and do this other stuff, maybe we'll get it running. And I even did get a little too curious maybe and took the carburetor off and cleaned it out with some, what was that stuff, like injection starter or something they had at Advance Auto. Anyway, and to no avail, didn't get the tiller working, so we may have to hand that one off to the experts and let somebody else take a gander at it, see what's going on. But yeah, so gardening and all those things are quickly approaching, and I'm sure they're something else that we need to get ready for. Just also quick clarification from yesterday. I had made the mistake of stating that we had finished up in James chapter 2. And what I should have said was, as we finished up in chapter 2, verse 13. So my apologies for that, but we'll jump back in today in James chapter 2, verse 14. And it says this, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go, peace, be warmed, and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So we would take away from this passage, of course, the theme being faith works and the combination of those two and how that basically represents a unified individual, man or woman, that's a believer in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that basically does these two functions in a manner that correlates and comes together in unison. And I sometimes think that, you know, there are reasons or possible scenarios where people may have a heightened sense of one or the other. You know, we would say, like, you know, the weights, the scales of, you know, you put one object on one platform and then another lighter object on the other, and you could even visualize it as like a seesaw. So like if I was on a seesaw with Owen Lake, he would be up high in the air for a while, right? But now if you had another individual that was as healthy as myself, we'll describe it like that, we'll say healthy, it would balance out, right? So the two are equal. And I think there has to be some of that in reference to what James is saying here in chapter 2. There has to be an equality of our faith and works. And we can often get that mixed up. You know, Martha and Mary. Martha was off busy. Mary was faith, not to disregard. And I know that story could be, you know, really magnified there. But just kind of to put it into some perspective, if you will. But ultimately, yes, Jesus does want our worship. He wants us to praise him. But the Bible is very clear that we also have to be functioning in a manner that's, again, representative of what that faith looks like. You know, there has to be that, again, that that outpouring. And so we acknowledge that truth by the ways in which that's demonstrated to other people around us. Again, this has been stated so many times that it can be seen in our homes, it can be seen in our workplaces, our schools, you know, at the grocery store, at the restaurant. Just yesterday, you know, just a brief conversation with the cashier. I mean, and a lot of times I don't know if we really let all that, you know, lack of a better word. We had pork chops the other day. I know, going back to food again. And they were marinating in teriyaki sauce. You should try it on the grill. It's pretty tasty. Anyway, so we need to marinate these ideas, these principles in our brain. And I think what really always comes back to my mind was, is there was a time that we were able to have lunch with these missionaries. And at that moment, I believe they were serving in Russia. You know, one of the biggest takeaways that I gathered from our conversation as we were, you know, listening to them describe their efforts over in Russia was, as they said, you know, to be honest, you guys are no different than us. You're just in a different location. You believe and you have faith in Christ as we do. And, you know, we're working and living and sharing the gospel. You know, we're just in a different location. And I was just like, you know, it was kind of one of those aha moments, you know, where the light comes on. Especially like in first thing in the morning, you're in a dead sleep and somebody wants to cut the lights on and you're like, oh man, that's bright. And this was a moment for me, I guess, for just realizing that, man, there's a lot of truth in what this missionary is saying, is that you have a faith, right? And you believe, and your work should be just as, you know, there should equate to the same way and how that's lived out in your life. And, you know, it should be shown. And James goes on and gives the example of Abraham. And then he also describes Rahab there. So he gives, the Bible is full of ways in which God uses different people. So Rahab, a prostitute, and Abraham, a man that God said, hey, the family and your descendants shall, you know, be countless as the stars. And we'd say that Abraham was a faithful man. And so, but anyway, it's a clear picture of just the ways in which God's plan is probably not, we couldn't have said, well, man, I would have orchestrated it this way, or I would have done it this way. You know, a lot of times it's not even, a lot of times when God works, what's so amazing about it is it's not even how we would have imagined it. It's totally radical and different from what the norm is. As Micah said last night at church, the norm is to, like Burger King, to have it your way. Anyway, so I guess if you want it your way, go to Burger King. Right? There's an advertisement for Burger King. The thing is that, so I think that James is basically stating there in chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. In verse 22, I think this kind of like lands the plane. You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. So just as we would say, you know, for an athlete, you've often heard it, practice makes perfect, and they came along and said, no, perfect practice makes perfect. Well, the perfectness of God being revealed in his plan in Abraham's life was the combination of faith and works. And then we see the fruits of that, right? Isaac was spared. And God, because God saw Abraham's obedience to him because of the faith that he had, and so he took action. And I feel that probably could be said of us, is that we know who God is. We've talked about who God is on this podcast. We've described him in a way of his goodness and his mercy, his faithfulness. And so we understand the dynamics of being able to depend on God and have faith in him, but do we take it a step further and do the work that he calls us to? Or sometimes do we just do the work and maybe look at it more as an obligation and not really have so much faith? You know, and I've been in church all my life, and I've seen that with people. I've experienced where people would just do it, right, for the sake of doing it. And it's like they get burned out on ministry, on service, on all those things. You know, I would say that it's also important, just a side note here, this is just my opinion. So take it for what it's worth. Having been in church and been in ministry, served as pastor, as youth pastor, and now I'm serving as a volunteer elder, volunteer pastor in my church now. You know, I believe that pastors need time away. And what I mean by that may, like, oh man, what you saying? So we would describe it as a sabbatical, right? And it's true that pastors need to get away and refocus, recharge, however you want to say that. Or as the retired preacher said one time, I didn't retire, I just refired. I think there is a season in which there is that coming together. And not to say that they've been overworked. And in some ways, maybe they have, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, you'd say that pastors, they're literally on call, you know, 24/7. I know we would think that the majority of their time is on Sunday, right? But that's not really the case. There's a lot of moving parts there. When you have a congregation, you know, once you start getting past a certain number, certain size, that can kind of multiply. And I think sometimes that we've got to look at that with pastors. So just a word of advice, I would say this. Be encouraging to give your pastors a sabbatical. I firmly believe that. I think that they need it. It's good for them. It's good for their families. It's a time of refreshment, just to kind of step away. And some people probably would think differently, you know. But 3 months is good. Yeah, I said that. Anyway, getting back to, somebody's like, 3 months, are you kidding me? Getting back to what I was saying is that the faith and works, they go together. And I think it's important for us as believers to see that truth. We have to have that combo, right? Hey, that's a good word. I mean, here in America, we like combination platters. Not trying to be whatever with that, but anyway. And so James is basically saying, hey, you know, faith in God and trusting in him is good, but that also produces action. And he's also saying action is good, but without faith, it's not. So there's got to be that healthy balance. And, you know, I think sometimes as believers, and this is speaking to both parties, right? You could say there are those that are maybe overly zealous in their faith, and that could be explained by trying to either be studious or getting more comprehension in their theology. And, you know, they feel as though that heightens their faith, maybe. And the only reason why I say that is just because I've been around it, and I've even kind of been swept that direction myself. And then, you know, but their works aren't there. And then on the other hand, it could be someone they work and they do, but their faith is just more so based on what they're doing and not an actual faith. And you could say that even for the person that's doing the other. But James, again, the healthy balance of faith and works. And so, you know, he says basically and sums it up as best, really, as it needs to be said in verse 26. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So we got to have it for it to function properly. I feel that in our life, as we continue on, that God has granted us to live, and we start to read and understand His Word and take it literally for our life, we see the importance of doing kingdom work. And as I have stated before, that is a job that takes much effort, takes much discipline. And I feel that we can do this thing with the help. And I think that's the reason why we need to have faith, because of how sometimes difficult it is. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.